Hey, everybody. Happy Halloween times.
What a haunting introduction from Alden Ford.
The spookiest episode of Mission to Six.
Is it safe for me to open my eyes?
Gentle listener, did you feel your back of your neck tingle?
Has your hair turned white? Has your skin gone bloodless?
Every pinprick of your skin terrifying you to your core.
Casual friendliness is the most terrifying mode anyone can do.
Sure, sure. Thanks for tuning in to this month's one-shot Mission to Zix podcast, the first and last episode of a very spooky show. That's right, it's Mission to Tricks and Treats, the Halloween Zix Spooktacular. Huh? Halloween is not really my holiday. I've never really gotten it. So I thought, what better...
Wow. You shouldn't be introing this.
What better way to get into the spirit and really get to the bottom of what makes Halloween Halloween?
Good thing we've got Master of Terror Alden Ford.
The Crypt Keeper himself. Do you not like Halloween because you're fearless or fearful?
Oh, I'm incredibly fearful.
So every day's Halloween.
Yes, yes. Like April Fool's Day, which a holiday I also don't like because I make stupid jokes all the time, I'm scared most of the time, so I don't need to dedicate a single day to it.
Just a scared guy pranking people every day of the year.
Just scared guy goofing off.
Scare and more of like the spooky, like the kind of
dance macabre.
Yeah,
the veil between hell and earth is as thin as possible.
Wow. Okay. Cool, Justin. Maybe you should host this.
Justin, do you want to take a whack at the intro just real quick?
Just to see.
Hey, what's up, guys? So we're just going to do
It's hard. Not so easy. Not so easy.
Oh, sorry. What did I do? See, it's my greatest fear to do that, to tank it, right? One of my big shots.
Oh, no. Well, we have a great show tonight for you where we talk about some classic Halloween tricks and treats. I'm talking best costume, Halloween parties, and, of course, ghost and or other paranormal spooky tales for your enjoyment.
Tales of cold.
Tales of fright.
Take care that you don't scare yourself to death listening to this episode.
Vincent Price?
Wow.
It's me.
We booked him? Why didn't we say that we booked him at the...
You've booked me from beyond the grave.
Get ready to lay down and wet your pants. Is that part of being? Yeah. That's part of it.
That sounds like a classic Halloween.
Who among us in Halloween hasn't laid down and wet our pants?
Yeah.
Put on your diapers and prepare to shit yourself clean into Halloween.
Shit yourself clean. Wow.
Well, let's go around and introduce ourselves, because I would like to know if you guys were writers for The Simpsons and doing a Treehouse of Terror, how would you credit yourself, as we all know, a Halloween pun, portmanteau of your name?
I think I have but one option, which is Scare Me Bent.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Scare Me Bent. Welcome to the show. I'm Alden, light as a feather, stiff as a Ford, checking in.
That's a two-liner. That would take two.
Yeah, that takes extra.
Wow, real vanity card for this guy.
Hold the Ford card for an extra 2 seconds. We got a big one in the middle for that boy.
I guess mine is Win Headstone No Hell.
Oh, wow. Good. You got a double.
A doubler.
Combo. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
I have Dustbin Tyler.
Cool.
Oh, just relegated.
Yeah, exactly. Relegated to the dustbin.
It's not really a pun, but I just want to be Deathwind.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That name works for so many things.
Yeah. Wow, what a cool group of guys.
I feel like Deathwind would be like heavy metal that's all flutes. Mm.
So like a more aggressive Jethro Tull.
Yeah, Deathrow Tull.
Listener, if you're missing a feminine presence on this podcast,
so are we. The scariest thing of all this Halloween is that the women are not here, which is
too scared.
Too scared,
or just they have good judgment.
Yeah. So it's just us dudes, you know, five white guys on a podcast.
First time ever.
Keep that dial tuned.
Well, we're the first ones to do something about nostalgia.
Yeah.
Sure. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite part of Halloween every year was coming up with and designing and ultimately being disappointed by my failure to properly execute a costume.
This roller coaster only goes down.
Do you have any costume stories, good or bad, that you'd like to share with the world?
I had two really good costume years. They were back to back.
You call them my costume years, right?
They were my costume years. You might have seen
it. It's like a micro memoir.
Yeah. It's a zine.
Yeah, there was a VH1 documentary that played between commercials.
Yeah, a 30 for 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. I was in my 20s living in Brooklyn, and the first of these 2 years, I was a monster carrying a baby. Hmm. I bought like really huge pajamas that kind of looked like scrubs, and I built kind of like shoulders and head that went above my head and was held on with a backpack. So I became probably like about a 7-foot person. And then I bought a snowsuit for maybe like a 2-year-old and sliced a big, like a big slice in the back and popped my head through the chest of the shirt and then through the back of the snowsuit into the head of the snowsuit. And then I put one of my arms into the snowsuit and my other arm into like the lower part of one of the big arms, and then stuffed the other big arm as a dummy arm, sort of holding the baby to the chest of this. And so, and the head of the monster was like this stocking cap with a skull on it that I sewed onto it. I had this idea for it. I had sketched it out. I was kind of like pissed off building it, being like, this isn't working. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really have like supplies. And then I finished it and looked in the mirror and I was like, because it was very, it was
you
very
scared yourself.
Well, it was just like, it was way more convincing than it should be, partly because like I had a functional hand in each character.
Oh,
so
that's
it's
good.
Like, it
right.
felt like,
smart.
Oh, you shouldn't be able to do both. So,
how? Do you have a picture of this? Do you have a picture of this?
I do. Yeah, I have. I don't have a great picture of this, but I just put a picture into the chat.
That's a good picture. As well.
It's pretty good, and it's pretty scary.
It's pretty scary.
Oh, my God.
We're putting in the show notes, gang, so yes. you'll also be able to see. Yes.
One thing I remembered I developed over the course of the night was that the baby would be sleeping, and this was like the monster like saying, shh. And so like I, and the.
What a backstory.
The monster arm would be like giving beer to the baby, which the baby was my head with I'm describing to the audience. There's no actual baby being given beer other than what was me.
Right.
Well, you know, this is a classic example of me failing to execute is one time right when I had moved to the city. This is now a really hack idea for a costume, but I think at the time I thought it was pretty cool. Would have been 2005. Mm-hmm. I was invited to a Halloween party. I was like, I really want to do a funny costume. And I had the idea, I'm going to go as Dr. Zizmore, the famous dermatologist who was in all of the subway ads.
You have to describe this for the people
who
didn't
live in New York.
Anyone who wasn't living in New York 15, 20 years ago, Dr. Zizmore was one of those, he was like a plastic surgeon, I think, or he was a dermatologist.
Yeah.
He was like a dermatologist who was famous for every single subway car in the city. Had
the most famous derm.
True, yes.
Almost
yes.
Impossible not
between
to,
2000 and 2012, the two people everybody knew about in New York were Dan Smith, who will teach you guitar, and Dr. Zizmore. They were
folk heroes,
yes. So I thought it would be fun to go as Dr. Zizmore, and of course Dr. Zizmore is sort of a normal-looking dude, but all of the posters featured him standing in front of a rainbow. So I was going to get a rainbow that would just extend, 6 feet out to the left. And so I needed like scrubs and a lab coat. And this was before like getting something on short notice from the internet was not really a thing at the time. So I tracked down like a medical supply place. And I was like, I'll just buy some scrubs and a lab coat. That's pretty straightforward. This is probably October 29th. And I went in, I was like, do you guys have scrubs? And, the lady behind the desk was like, this is for a Halloween costume? And I froze because I was like, she said it like, what are you doing? This is for doctors. This is not for idiots who want to get drunk and fall asleep on the train. She's like, yeah, we don't carry those. You have to order them. And I was like, okay. But afterwards, for some reason, it was stuck in my head that I was like, I should have just said I was a doctor. Yeah. What if I had been like,
how
I
dare
am
you?
A
no way.
Dare
prove
you?
It.
Well, also, this was 2000. I was 22. There was I looked 15. There was yes, no
I'm
possible.
A doctor.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
New York Presbyterian's finest spinal surgeon.
Yeah. Do you know who I am? So it didn't work out. That's probably my best costume, and it never happened. And it wasn't that good to begin with.
I feel like most of my costumes were like things that I was into and nobody else was. So it was always just very like, huh? So like in fourth grade, I was like obsessed with Happy Days, the show Happy Days. I was obsessed with it.
All right.
I don't know why.
A little late for it.
Yeah. It absolutely for
well,
those,
it was on in the afternoon. I feel like
yeah,
when we were
I
kids.
Think it was on the afternoon. For those of you who were not in the U.S., this was a show, a sitcom from the 1970s about the 1950s that I was watching in the 1990s. I was so many layers removed, and the famous character is the Fonz, Henry Winkler.
Very cool.
Very cool leather jacket, white T-shirt, like. A 50s greaser.
Great costume.
Iconic. Not the costume I chose. The character I chose to portray was Ron Howard's character, Richie Cunningham. Wow. And I wore like a letter jacket, and that was it.
He was the squeaky clean
yeah,
kid.
He was the audience surrogate. He was like goody two shoes, and the Fonz was the cool one. And I was like, no, thank you. My turtle is Leonardo, and my Happy Days character is Richie Cunningham.
Keep in mind, the bad boy on this show was the Fonz, whose whole thing was he hit his elbow into the jukebox and would play a song, and that's how bad he was.
Yeah.
He drove a motorcycle.
He seemed to... They hinted at him having sex a lot.
Okay.
Cool.
I feel like I'm a miss for a lot of my Halloween costumes. And very much in line with what Winston's saying, I went as Lowell from the TV show Wings when I was a kid.
It's so amazing.
The Wings, a TV show, not for kids, but Lowell was like was played by Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
Sandman in the Spider-Man movies.
Sideways.
Sideways. He was just the dumb mechanic who was very funny. And everyone was like, who are you? And I was like, Lowell from Wings. They were like,
who from what?
Yeah. And?
Yeah. So please Google all of that stuff. I waited tables one year when I was living in Brooklyn, and I went as a leather jacket clad Speedo wearing lifeguard with the name of the restaurant written in Sharpie on my chest.
Hmm.
Oh. What was the name of the restaurant?
It was Fuck Puppy. No, it was Jolie. Okay. And all it was a French restaurant, and all the owner and his buddies were like, this guy's weird. And it's true.
This was for a shift, waiting tables you were?
Yes, I waited
Halloween?
Tables in a lifeguard uniform with a very old leather jacket. But the recent one is my family and I decided to go as... the family from Bluey. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. And so my wife ordered the costumes. She was like, you got to try this on. I was like, I'll get to it. So then we got our costumes on. And my wife decided to change her costume. So I was Bandit. The kids were Bluey and Bingo. And my wife went as Mayor of Easttown.
What?
So it was me and the kids, and then she was wearing like a Carhartt and had a vape and an empty bottle of Rolling Rock as we walked around Brooklyn trick-or-treating. But the twist was that because I didn't try the costume on, it was too tight to the point where it was a problem.
Wow.
It was... And then the kids changed. They had a second costume. They put on princess dresses. So I was just like a vaguely pornographic dog walking around with kids on Halloween.
Wow.
Bandit getting loose, huh?
Yeah, Bandit's letting it all hang low.
Right. Oh, wow. Mayor of Easttown is arresting Bandit for indecent exposure.
Yeah, exactly. It was a setup. It was all a setup. And I blew it in every... I never didn't have a second costume. And
You blew-eyed it.
I blew-eyed it. I was showing peen.
I don't like to dress up for Halloween because it's a struggle for me to find regular human clothes that fit and not special clothes that I'm going to wear one day a year. ever since becoming the size I am now, which was like 15 years old, I've always found Halloween pretty frustrating. That said, I'm going to throw in the chat a photo of what's probably my favorite costume I've ever done.
Are you Michael McDonald?
Michael McDonald?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what Michael McDonald
wow.
does. Yeah. The two times at any party I went to where someone would be like, "Are you Michael McDonald?" I'd be like, "Oh, no, you won't be
That's
yeah,
really funny.
I love
it's
it.
It's great.
Oh, man. Solid costume.
It was very fun. Also, pretty comfortable costume as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You look great.
Low investment, high reward. Yeah. I will say my love for Halloween costumes was never very high, but it has sort of been reinvigorated by having kids.
Yeah.
Mm. But this year, my second kid now is 5, and he's one of those kids who is so prolific with his imagination that it was really tough for us to nail down what he wanted to be because he kept changing his mind. He wanted to be Bigfoot for a while, then he wanted to be a bear. And finally, my wife sat him down and said, "Look, you know, we only have a couple weeks to Halloween. If I'm going to make you a costume, you got to decide what it is. So I want you to decide right now." And for the first time, he hadn't mentioned this before, he's like, "I want to be a big fat fly." And she was like, "You want to be a fly?" And he's like, "Yeah, big fat fly. Big fat ugly fly."
Okay.
So,
all right.
And she's like, "Okay, here we go." So we've been for 2 weeks now been making him this elaborate fly costume, and
it's
it is
so funny.
It is ugly and really hilarious. I cannot wait for you guys to see it.
That's so great.
Big fat fly, you're like, "Let's get creative, because we're not gonna find that anywhere. We have to make it." It's gonna be really
some Chinese costume manufacturer seeing all these searches for big fat fly, and they're like, "Oh, we missed some sort of trend. How did we?"
Yeah. Americans are out to something again.
Yeah. Whenever I go to Halloween Adventures, they would always have like the really elaborate costumes in the front displays, you know, like, and they would theme
Predator
them, and I'm like,
something.
I'm like, wow,
Iron Man suit.
Like,
yeah,
I'm like, wow, and I always had this image of like that costume's going to some great costume party, you know, like I had this like there's like that image of like somewhere in this city is the greatest costume party and all the like top, because you go into Halloween Adventures and there are some like big
like $900 gorilla suit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like some rich asshole is doing that, and like God bless him. I don't know, I would always be like so kind of starstruck, but I don't know, I was just always like, wow, these
really funny. Yeah. But really, the people who go in there and just drop like a grand are people that like wear it for 30 minutes and then take
100%.
It off.
100%.
Yeah.
Throw it away right after.
Gotta do this
on
for work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Visual Pun's least favorite costume.
So you wouldn't have liked my teenage costume of serial killer, where I had taped a bunch of tiny cereal boxes to the inside of a trench coat and had a plastic knife and would stab them from time to time?
I don't think I would have.
Really? Okay. I'm surprised you don't like a visual pun, Alden. I don't know why.
I just think they're often not very... I've dressed as them before. I get it. I just don't think they're usually very... Because then what? Then you see it and then what? Then you're just hanging out with that person?
Well, that's
how supposed to not, you're supposed to not hate them.
Yeah, for their Alden. What do you do at Halloween parties? You're in character the entire fucking time.
All the world's a stage.
I don't think so, buddy.
Moving on. Speaking of Halloween parties,
can I just say it's hilarious to have a podcast hosted by somebody who actively hates the subject matter.
I know.
It's like fantastic.
Well, that's great, I guess. So,
well, you know, speaking of cool Halloween parties, anybody have any great Halloween party stories, or embarrassing ones, or scary ones?
I've got one. This one's pretty embarrassing. This was the second year of my 2-year run of costumes I was proud of.
Yes, I love so the continued
was,
narrative.
The costume
was,
years.
This was 1 year after Monster carrying a
Seth,
baby.
Seth, can I guess? Is this Lennon?
Yes, this was Lennon, half John, half Vladimir. So I...
Very a thinking man's costume.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, as we all know, Halloween is the thinking man's holiday.
Yes,
it is. It is.
Yes, a lot of nodding quietly, reverently. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What is the meaning of death?
Aren't we all in masks when it comes down to it?
Yes.
You know, we are who we pretend to be.
Yes. Yeah. Flesh is the ultimate disguise.
And isn't life a trick or a treat?
Depending on what you ask for.
I cut a brown suit in half and like sewed it onto the over the top of the John Lennon side of, so I had the New York City shirt like sleeveless, and I
that's awesome.
Shaved so that I had half of a goatee on the Lennon side, and I was already bald, so I didn't need to shave my head, but I did wear half of a wig by like affixing it to a headband that I wore like front to back, and bought like the glasses and wore half of the John Lennon glasses, and had some sort of like Russian paraphernalia. I think I handmade a Das Kapital or something.
Hey Kapital. It's at
yeah,
the front.
Yeah, right. Revolution number 1917.
Yeah, good.
Das Money, that's what I want in parentheses.
Twist and proletariat.
No. Yeah. The will of the proletariat will, yeah.
Twist and revolt.
Good.
The backstory was that my girlfriend at the time decided that she was going to move to Siberia for 6 months.
Wow.
And whoa. I was...
Not still together? Oh, okay.
Sad about that.
That does sound like a lie you tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a Friends episode.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly, like, if I say anywhere closer than Siberia, he'll be like, I'll come with you.
He'll show up. He'll show up. Yeah, it... in any case, I was sad. I was at this party alone, friend's party in Astoria, Queens, and I feel like Halloween can be like a fun holiday when you're single. There's obviously a layer of like sexiness and possible romance that is somehow associated with Halloween. So I think I got to this party and it was one of those things where like people really loved the costume, and so I was getting like a lot of attention in life, not maybe the life of the party, Seth Lind, but Lennon was a kind of a hit.
Definitely.
And I felt like if I were single, this would be like a magical evening, but instead I was in a relationship with someone who was in Siberia, and I just grabbed a full bottle of gin and walked out of the party without saying bye to anyone. And I
wow,
haunting choice.
I was just like, I was like so sad and mad and lonely and lustful and all these things. And I just
honestly,
like,
both Lennons got together and
you were really in character, is what you're saying.
You were possessed by the costume.
Alcohol is the opiate of the people, I believe, technically.
And I walked out and I saw like if I went to the right, I would go to the train that would take me home. And I just walked to the left with my bottle of gin. And it was very dark. I was kind of in an area near the elevated train, but I couldn't exactly see where I was going. And I just remember kind of angrily tearing off the Vladimir Lenin half of the costume, which I feel like the narrative I put on it is it's like this anti-Russian, like, I hate Siberia. Like, I tear you away, Vladimir. And then some unknown number of hours later, I woke up. I had like stumbled down a kind of rocky hillside and just decided to sleep for however long I was passed out there. And then I managed to somehow hail a cab. So at that point, I was no longer really in anything resembling a costume. I just had half of a goatee and non-matching shoes and like had a lot of blood on me that was just actual blood from falling on this rocky hill. And then the cab driver the whole time while I was in the car was just saying, don't puke in my car, don't puke in my car, don't puke in my car.
And you're like, imagine all the people.
And he said, okay, you're home, and let me out. And I looked around and I was nowhere near my home.
Yeah. I gotta say, we made fun of the costume years earlier, but this is a good, this is really built. Yeah. This is haunted.
I was able to hail another cab eventually and did get home. But when I woke up the next morning, I obviously was extremely hungover and kind of not remembering a lot, and I looked in the mirror, and I gotta say, it's very startling when you forget you have half of a goatee to look in the mirror and see that. It was a humbling experience.
Wow. Sounds like a great night.
But it was a good costume before I actively destroyed it in a self-loathing rage.
Do you have a picture of that one?
I do.
Oh my God, Seth, this is an amazing costume.
Thank
you. Holy shit.
That's so good.
It was, you know, good while it lasted.
The only one I could find is one where I was Clark Kent, which isn't, you know, I just had a suit on
Clark
with a Superman.
Kent. God damn it, Winston.
Well, I had to be
the
guy
that
didn't
want to
go
with
the guy in a suit. No, I couldn't pull off Superman.
Chose the Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, sorry, are you in costume right
I'm
now?
I'm going to be Peter Parker. Peter Parker without a camera.
I actually had, I went to a Halloween party once that was great, and one of the guys there came in like, you know, with a camera and like a hoodie and like a button down or something, and everyone's like, who are, you know, he's like, I'm Peter Parker, I'm Peter Parker. And then like halfway through the party, he leaves, and Spider-Man walks in.
Oh, that's...
And he like never...
That's
never,
oh,
like,
that's really
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's pretty great.
That's
that
playing is, the long
that's
game.
Good.
That's
good.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I don't like dressing up for Halloween. So, like, I'm never, like, seeking out Halloween parties. But when I was a teenager in high school, it's like, well, you don't want to do nothing. But my best friend, Jason... My best friend Jason Voorhees.
We killed this is, that night. You know?
Yes.
We had no candy and no costumes.
Our thirst for blood was unquenchable. His dad was an engineer and owned like a machine shop with his uncles. And so he was like one of those kids, like as a teenager, like he built his own go-kart, you know?
Oh.
And he was really into like model rocketry. He is an engineer now. And you're like, cool, you're really good at that, you should do that.
Yeah, right.
But when Halloween rolled around, he lived in like the really walkable suburban area in my hometown. His house got a ton of trick-or-treaters, and so he started doing like, I'm gonna put together all this stuff to like scare kids at the house, do you want to help me run it? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And so he built all this stuff. When you got to the door, he had bought a styrofoam human head from a movie prop company that just was like a terrified, like wide-eyed head. And he had mounted it on a swivel. And so one of you would be underneath the table swiveling the head to follow the kids as they walked up to the door. And then if they stepped close, the other person had monster gloves on and would like swipe out at their feet, and kids would just scream. It was great. It was so fun.
Wow.
I love it.
One Halloween I spent after college, I traveled for a year on a grant studying street theater. And I was in Scotland, and they don't celebrate Halloween anywhere else in the world, basically. So I was on a tour of the Highlands with a bunch of other people, random people, and we were staying in what they was described as a haunted castle. The hostel was a haunted castle, and it had all these like secret passageways and like ethereal glowing statues in different areas, and it was generally freaky. So the leader of the trip was like, I mean, what no one will do is walk the grounds. No one will walk the grounds. Like, you can't go outside. It's too scary. So a bunch of us decided to do that. And naturally, and
easily
what I did...
Easily manipulated.
Yes. The chumps, the suckers. I ran ahead of everyone a little bit and got a long stick. And when they would go past, I would brush the stick down their back.
Whoa.
And scare the shit out of everyone.
Fantastic.
It was great, but everyone was mad at me after that.
Worth it.
Wow.
It was.
Yeah, that seems worth it.
In a horror movie, you would have been doing that, and then like, ha, 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 and then you would have felt something on your back, and then it...
Then I would have died, yeah.
Then you would have died, yeah.
You would have been
one
of the first to go, sir.
Right. Justin of Clan Scooby.
Yeah. Clan do.
this talk about Halloween parties and haunted houses is a perfect segue to Tricks and Treats, our next totally different and very distinct section of this podcast.
And very haunted.
And very spooky. Here's a question for you guys. You guys seem to have your finger on the non-pulse of the Halloween zombie.
Yeah, as men over 40, I think we definitely yeah.
like
do.
You said that in a way like I've been asking questions to so many other people, but here's one for you guys, the other people on the podcast.
There is
how many podcasts are you doing?
Yeah, how many are you hosting?
I've been seeing commercials for a marshmallow Butterfinger.
Ooh.
What's the fucking story there?
I got to talk about Butterfinger for a second.
Yeah.
They changed the formula for Butterfinger a few years ago, and it is notably worse. Wow. It's not as good as it used to be.
It's not going
to
get better.
Well, I know, but feel like this is their way of being like, hey, guess what? In a year, we're going to replace Butterfinger with Marshmallow Butterfinger, and then you'll never see a Butterfinger ever again.
And it's probably like, you know what? It's probably like, it's actually so much cheaper to produce the marshmallow Butterfinger, the actual Butterfinger, the process of making the brittle or whatever it is.
You need peanuts for the Butterfinger part. All you need for the marshmallow part is hooves.
Yeah, and chemicals.
Yep. Yeah.
Take that, Halloween. Yeah. Put away your joy,
birds.
Kids. Yeah.
Yeah. The headless horseman on the hoofless horse.
Yes. Everyone talks about the headless horseman. What about the horseless head man? That's my Halloween costume this year.
Yeah. Whoa. That's just anyone who runs a company and doesn't have a horse.
Yes. Oh, I thought I was thinking headman as in like somebody who ran a head shop. Like,
Hey, man.
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey. You see my horse?
Where's my horse, man? Dude, my horse?
I got horsed last night. So fucked up, I lost my horse. You know that word, horsed.
You know.
Yeah.
You know when you get horsed.
And, you know, losing your horse, obviously, the scariest thing that could happen, which is a great segue.
Nothing spookier.
To our next segment. Actually, scary stories. This is the one I've been dreading, so let's get into it.
Yes.
Well, when I was a kid, the scary story that messed me up was, did you guys ever hear Cowbell?
The sketch from SNL?
Yeah, it was like how he wouldn't stop.
It's crazy.
Some say he's still playing that cowbell today.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody has been seen here with a cowbell. But the cowbell, it's like there's a variation of this, but it's like, you know, a kid hears on the radio or on the television that like someone's escaped from the lunatic asylum, you know, sane asylum. Again, this is a different time. We weren't, you know, mental health was different.
How did Winston get canceled? Oh, he told this weird story.
He said lunatic asylum on a podcast?
No, but everyone's very mad about it.
The madhouse? Somebody escaped from Bedlam. They're like, the person's wearing white sneakers, white pants, a white shirt, and then the power goes out, and, you know, the kid can hear like a cowbell in the distance and kind of looks outside and there's nothing, you know, everything's okay. And then I was hearing this when I was like young, and he wakes up the next morning and he hears the cowbell and he goes into his parents' room and his parents are like killed, and there's like at the foot of the bed is like a man in like white shoes, white pants, white shirt, and a cowbell around his neck with like a knife, and like lunges at him, and that's the end of the story. And it just terrified me for like I was so scared.
I have two, one recent one from a while ago. I was doing a show, I do Characters Welcome. I was up in Maine, we would do it virtually, and I was like, oh, Maine, haha. And someone was like, well, you know about the Maine Sleepwatcher, right? And I was like, oh no. And this is in the chat, and they're like, back, because it was like in a town, I think near where you're staying, this guy would break into people's homes, not steal anything, and he would just watch them sleep.
Huh.
And if you look up Google Maine Sleepwatcher,
Jesus,
the picture of this guy's face, they never caught him. The police drawing of this guy's face is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And he still stalks, watching people gently drift off. So think about that when you're going to sleep tonight.
Wow.
The lips are too thin, you know?
Oh, yikes.
The very thin lips. The thin lips is what probably drives him to watch people as they sleep.
Dad? My dad's been missing in Maine for decades.
He's looking for you.
He's living his best life. He's having a great time.
The other story is a true story that happened to one of my wife's friends when she was working in, I think, Vermont. She was working in a restaurant living in Vermont. And she was staying in like a house with other people who worked at the restaurant. They were all working. She got the night off. So she goes home and goes in the house, and no one else is in the house. She goes into her bedroom, starts the shower, and as she's like looking in the mirror, she sees the bed ruffle just sort of like flutter a little bit in the mirror behind her. And she's like, oh, that's weird. And so she closed the door, sort of like screws around with the shower a little bit, makes some noise. Then she climbs out the window, jumps off of the second floor onto the lawn, runs like a mile and a half to the farmhouse down the street, calls the cops. The cops come. They go into the house, and there is a man waiting under the bed.
Oh, my God.
Nobody knows what he was going to do.
Oh, my God.
And here's the truly scary part. He only got charged with, like, just breaking into a house. He didn't.
Cool.
He's just like, hey, don't do that again. You can't go into other people's homes. He's like, yeah, no, you totally. Just happened to walk.
The judge
in.
Was like, you knucklehead. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Get out from under that bed.
The justice system is truly scary.
Oh, my God.
A system terrifying. To send a shiver down your spine.
She was like, well, that bed. Bed ruffle fluttering is enough for me to be like, I need to go. And
oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Potentially saved her life being a little paranoid about that.
Whoa.
Correctly Jeez. Paranoid.
Okay, well, I will probably double lock, you know, like check the deadbolt a couple of times tonight.
Well, you got two flavors. You have the main sleep watcher just wants to hang for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the under the bed guy from Vermont who's out to kill it. Anyway, stay out of New England, I guess.
Yeah, right. It's something in the water.
I would love to see a comedy sketch about the main sleep watcher where it's like very sinister the whole time. And then the guy wakes up and sees the sleep watcher and is like, ah! And the sleep watcher's like, what you doing? Sleeping?
Sleeping
there? Oh, you were really out.
Yeah.
Tide's low.
Yeah.
I was sitting here thinking, when's this guy gonna wake up?
Sleep clean till morning.
It's still going.
So Alden, have we changed your mind? Do you love Halloween now?
I guess so. With the story about the guy under the bed, man, I really get why you guys love it so much. I get why you just love everything about being spooked and scared and potentially murdered. It's really good stuff. I get it.
That didn't happen on Halloween.
Yeah, that was just a regular day in the summer. Just,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can't hold that against Halloween.
Yeah. Alden, you're not scared. The guy behind the curtain behind Alden, are you scared? Can he hear us, Alden?
No.
Can the guy behind?
It's a big fat fly. But suddenly, his gaze turned to the ceiling, revealing the creature that had been there the whole time. A big, fat fly.
Thanks so much for joining us on this very spooky evening. I'm going to go keep working on this big, fat fly costume. And stay safe out there. Watch out for all those razor blades in your Hershey's Kisses or whatever.
Thanks, folks.
Happy Halloween.
Go to sleep. We'll be watching you.